This podcast was made possible by the Heising-Simons Foundation. The Center on Enhancing Early Learning Outcomes at the National Institute for Early Education Research presents Legacy 2030, Pioneers in Early Childhood Education. On this episode, we speak with Steve Barnett, Board of Governors Professor and Senior Co-Director and Founder of the National Institute for Early Education Research at Rutgers University. Steve, what is most important but least understood about effective early childhood education, particularly for disadvantaged children?
I think one of the things that's least appreciated by policymakers is how difficult it is for early childhood programs to produce lasting impacts on children's learning and development. Not that you can't do it, but that there's a very heavy lift, and that central to that lift is intensive, high-quality teaching. And I think, by and large, they have no idea what that is or how difficult it is to do.
What have been the most notable changes in early childhood education in the past 30 years?
The most notable change in early childhood education is actually in the home. Parents today, especially parents of low-income children, are much better educated than they were if we go back 30, 40, 50 years. And that improvement in their education has led to real improvements in what they can do to improve the lives of their own children at home. Now, beyond that, what's surprising is how little change there's been in access to high-quality preschool education outside the home. For the most part, we've not succeeded very much in moving that.
How has NEAR influenced early education policymaking and practice in the decades since you founded it?
What NEAR does to influence policymaking and practice, first and foremost, is bring transparency. So we put the data out there for the public. That helps to prevent what I think is a major problem on the policy front, and that's a kind of political bait and switch. You promise one thing, you deliver something very different. We hold politicians accountable. Lots of folks want to hold teachers accountable. Let's go back a step and say the politicians who made the promises for what they do for our children and families, we need to hold them accountable for delivering.
What level of policymaking bears the responsibility for improving early learning opportunities? Is it federal, state, local?
Every level of American government has a role in ensuring that we have good policies. That's the nature of the American political system, the American educational system. The federal government has primary responsibility for ensuring adequate resources and some consistency in what's available to children and families across states. But then states have a more fundamental responsibility for delivering a high-quality education that meets the constitutional standards in each and every state. They're foundational. Local government has responsibilities. Those are delegated by the state. So the local government closest to the kids and parents, they need to be taking responsibility for ensuring that children have access, that children have a high-quality education when it's delivered. But none of that lets the state off the hook, because the state delegates the local government to carry out its responsibilities. And if it doesn't, then the responsibility falls on the state.
What is the best argument for public investment in early education?
The best argument for public investment in early education is that it's good for kids. And we ought to do what's good for kids. It's good for kids just as an experience. It enriches the quality of their lives as young children. That's valuable in and of itself, but it lays the foundation for their future well-being and development. So that's the best reason. If you want to dig a little deeper, as an economist, it's really clear the private sector does not deliver the high-quality education kids need. Parents can't afford it on their own. It's very difficult for them to figure out what it is and whether their children are receiving it. it just won't happen without government intervention. So if we take an even broader perspective on that, the United States for much of our history led the world in education. We had the best education system in the world. We had the best educated population in the world. And as a result, we had the strongest democracy. We had a strong nation more generally, and we were the most productive country on the planet. Well, those days are gone. They're not gone because of anything nefarious. They're gone because other countries passed us by. We got complacent. We stopped investing. We didn't invest in the early years. We didn't invest in higher education the way other countries have. And of the two, early childhood is more important because early childhood lays the foundation on which you're going to build later success.
What is your vision for closing the huge gap in the quality of preschool that most children experience?
If you start with what it is we want children to learn and to be able to do at a young age, and then you say, what needs to happen if children are going to have the experiences that will enable them to do that, then I think everything else on quality follows, because people very quickly realize that what we really want for our children, that takes a lot of strong teaching from very well-prepared teachers who have a lot of support to achieve excellence. I think I've come to the conclusion that the prevailing approach to research is wrong. That actually we need a fairly modest investment in the kind of research that appears in the What Works, or as it's more commonly called, What Doesn't Work, clearinghouse, that aims at conducting large-scale studies or even small-scale studies to test theory, to test programs and produce generalizable results that then the entire field is going to use. I think the scope for learning from that is relatively narrow. What we need to have is data collection embedded in the everyday activities of teachers and leaders in preschools and schools that is constantly used to improve my practice. I brought into early childhood the idea from economics that modest improvements in learning and development could have modest impacts on a huge range of future life circumstances, development, right? So it's not just about, do you graduate from high school and go to college, or what's on your achievement test? In fact, it's about, do I learn to be a productive member of society? Am I productive at work? Am I more productive in the home and family formation and child rearing? Do I stay out of jail, not get involved in delinquency and crime? Am I healthier because I've developed better health habits and, in general, am more forward-thinking and planful about how I live my life? And that even though it's crude and horribly incomplete, we can put economic value on those. Everybody knows what the cost of doing something is. They almost never know what the cost of not doing it is. That's my work. What do we lose if we don't do this? And if it turns out that if we can even have very small positive impacts on children early on, that the sum total of that's an order of magnitude larger than the cost of a fairly expensive investment to produce those small effects. That's a real change in perspective and understanding.
Thank you. The Center on Enhancing Early Learning Outcomes at the National Institute for Early Education Research would like to thank the Heising Simons Foundation for its support of the Legacy 2030 Pioneers in Early Childhood Education Project. For more information about CELO's Legacy 2030 project, visit our website, celo.org/celo-legacy-2030. Thank you.